Tuesday morning is just one of the greatest days of the week because it's when we talk Tuesday Book Club. It's when we let you know what you should be reading, what to take your valuable time and actually experience what a book can offer with. And the person who does that for us each week is, of course, Andrew Popel from 2SER's own Final Draft. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, what are we chatting about for Book Club today?
Today, I wanted to talk a little bit of Aussie YA.
Ah, you know, we've had such a good time talking Aussie young adult before.
There's so much great Aussie stuff, and the YA is particularly strong. And so today, I've got a book. It was released just a few weeks ago. It's J.C. Burke's The Things We Promise. And the story takes us back to 1990, the swan song of the 1980s, and a very different vision of Australia. So The Things We Promise should be the simple story of Gemma Longrigg, 16 years old and finally ready to step out of the shadows at a school formal, where her famous stylist brother will be returning from New York to do her hair and makeup for the big night. Quickly, though, all this changes as Gemma discovers that her brother Billy and his partner Saul are HIV positive. And Gemma's thrown into a world that she barely understands and must face the prejudice that ignorance breeds in the wider community.
Wow. Oh, my God. Hard topics.
Yeah, exactly. And so, look, I can't really claim to have many formative memories of the 80s. I'm going to blame any fashion choices on my parents. I was a kid. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. But Burke does a really nice job of evoking the era, particularly the sense of growing up and making sense of life from both the teenage perspective, which is Gemma, and the 20-something, which is her brother, Billy. Burke really seeks to capture the paranoia of the era and evoke it for a generation that has to an extent forgotten how dangerous HIV seemed at the time and the subsequent fear and hatred that was directed predominantly at the gay community as a result.
Oh, absolutely.
And see, nowadays, I wander around the inner west and I see billboards for ending HIV by 2020. That's a big campaign that's going on. There's been quite a plateauing of diagnoses and they want to kind of bring that down almost to zero. But Burke recalled to me when we spoke about how she was working as a nurse in the 80s. And at the time, when they got together and they would have a case come in to the hospital, talking about it, it seemed like it was almost something of a modern plague. So people really didn't understand what was happening at that time, and it made them scared, and scared people act stupid. And they were primarily scapegoating the homosexual community and really ostracizing them from their families, from their towns. There's a really interesting little, I guess, sort of side plot of a character that we meet in The Things We Promise about a young man who's basically left his community, told his family that he's traveling the world, because he's pretty sure he's HIV positive and he's come to Sydney to seek treatment.
Oh, wow.
And he can't communicate to anyone because he's never come out. So to come out and also to come out as HIV positive is just too much.
It's, oh my God, what a big topic. As I keep saying, this is like, for young adult fiction, this is huge topics to be talking about.
Yeah, and it's really remarkable to go back to this era. One really interesting and remarkable aspect of Burke's capturing of the 80s is the central figure of the phone box down the road from Gemma's apartment and how this sort of figures into the story. Because, look, with communication available across a range of mediums in our pockets, 24/7, in fact. You know, look, we tend to forget that once upon a time, keeping in touch was a much more deliberate process. Unless, of course, you are a period drama geek and then you're all about Snapchat on your carrier pigeon. The phone box down the road, though, for Gemma and for Billy, it's their means of talking privately with the world, getting out from under their parents' shadow. And it's remarkable to look at it in the story, the way it mirrors, I guess, the smartphone capability that we have. Gemma not only calls her best friends, but they write notes on the wall. So there's a running stream of notes.
Ingenious.
There's advertisements everywhere, of course, because it's a phone box. There's personals.
Of course.
Scribbled on the wall. And undoubtedly the occasional troll gets in there and writes horrible things. The phone box is the way that Gemma, her brother, their friends can carve out a life outside the claustrophobia of the adult world. And so the decisions that the characters make as they're carving out their own lives undoubtedly prove both serendipitous and disastrous. That's what happens when you're growing up. But juxtaposed with the bigotry around them, particularly from the adults in their lives, they show us the way forward from this culture of fear and hate. So this is The Things We Promise. It's a genuinely moving novel. I think it's going to be up to the individual whether they want to engage with the social commentary on offer. It's just a good story too. But it definitely presents a part of our history that might otherwise receive scant attention. It also never hurts to stop and take a look back at how prejudice operates, in a way that I guess gives us perspective on our own troubled times.
I think it does, by the sounds of it. This is on the list. This is amazing. And I think what's really important is looking at that kind of snapshot of history for young adults, because otherwise they're not going to find out what it was like. They can read the history, but they're never going to get a sense of what it was like to live there.
Mm. And the young adult perspective really does that. It shows you what was very different. I mean, when I met, so if you want to actually find out a little bit about this book from the author, Jane spoke to me for Final Draft. It's up on 2SER.com now.
Fantastic.
And she was really inspired to write it because talking to her own kids who are in their 20s now, she realized they had very little idea about what this meant at the time, what HIV, what AIDS meant for people in the 80s. And, you know, there are figures released, I think, in 2013 and 2015 that have shown incidents of STIs are actually on the increase again.
They are. Complacency.
Yeah, people have gotten complacent about some of the messages around safe sex. And it seems like that's barely a generation cycle where these messages have been forgotten. And she wanted to create a story that gave a sense of what it was like growing up and thinking about these things.
Oh, look, it sounds absolutely incredible. Now, when's Final Draft on?
Every Saturday, 10 a.m.
10 a.m., fantastic. And what do we want to talk about on Tuesday Book Club next week?
Next week, another great new Australian novel, very recently released, Michael Sala's The Restorer.
Ooh.
So again, taking us back, this is similar period, so it's taking us back to Newcastle in the late 80s.
Okay, so I'm in.
Think Earthquake. Think very Aussie.
The Restorer.
The Restorer by Michael Sala.
All right, if you want to play along for next Tuesday, grab a copy of that. We'll be ready. We will, of course, talk more books next Tuesday. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Looking forward to it, Nick.